Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. Today, we're sitting with Christo Noll. Welcome, Christo. Thank you for giving us your time. Christo is the MD of UVEX South Africa, and quite a bit more than that. He's got vast experience from a safety point, and we're going to ask him to just briefly walk us through. You don't become the MD of UVEX South Africa by chance. What did your safety career look like to get you here?
Cool. First up, thanks for having me, Dylan. Excited. It's been 18 years already. It's hard to believe. So I joined UVEX in 2006. I had no idea about safety. But I joined as a sales guy. And the only way to then learn is just to get into it. You know, you got to get into the sectors, the segments, and just how things are done in South Africa. But UVEX... as a safety company, I think the values are right. So from the start, it was about protecting people. That is our mission. And after 4 years, I went into the product management side. That's more the technical side, the standard side, the development side, which was also interesting. And then, so our region that we are responsible for is also Middle East, Africa, India. So we opened an office in Dubai in 2010. So in 2013, I moved over to Dubai. So I was general manager for that region. And then in 2017, I came back here as part of a succession program to then take over as MD in 2021. You know, so interesting times if we look at COVID and what happened there and, you know, how the whole industry was affected. And yeah, so I'm in my third year now, but it's been interesting. You know, it's a good journey.
So the main point of this podcast is, we want to equip people with good information, good knowledge, good decision-making ability, because ultimately you can't make a good decision if you do not have the appropriate information. Hence, we get the experts. So how we view UVEX is they're really a fit-for-purpose partner. You guys aren't there to just try put PPE on site. Let's understand. Like you've said now, you can't just one-size-fits-all. It has to be fit for purpose for that specific industry. There's never ever going to be a blueprint that you can just copy. So from our side, the knowledge it's unquestionable. You guys are one of the leaders in knowledge. From a quality point as well, I think I've never ever seen or heard of something that was UVEX manufactured that has been kicked back because it was incorrectly issued. How would you view your company as fit-for-purpose solutions to the end user?
I think firstly, you know, again, back to our mission statement, which is protecting people. You know, it is something that we honestly take personally, because I hate it when people actually say we sell a commodity, because then you start talking numbers, you start talking price, you start talking process in, and you almost become a logistic company. You know, just I've got the product, it's available at the right price, it's our way, go for it. Whereas when it comes to safety, if you think about what we're actually doing, that every person that puts on a safety product is a father, it's a son, it's a brother, it's, you know, and when you think about it and you put that personal touch to it, you actually go that extra mile. And it shouldn't actually be the extra mile. So fit for purpose is actually taking the product, making sure that our product is fit for purpose on site. And that is a holistic approach. It's not something that, again, you follow three basic steps and off you go. You've got to entrench yourself with the customer, how they do things. And again, you'll find a manufacturing site. Let's take Mittal. The Mittal site in Vereeniging is completely different to the Mittal site in Saldanha. Same company, same process, different setup. Different environment, different people, different culture. So it's, again, you can't just copy and paste. So fit for purpose is really matching the product with the environment, with the culture, and with that customer. And we can unpack that a bit, but, you know, it is a process. It is best practice.
So it's easy for you to say that from a point of you lead a company. You've got that mindset. How do you make sure that all the people that are with UVX trying to achieve this goal are actually in that same mind space. And I'm saying that because I've experienced it. I've seen the team. I've seen the passion for keeping someone safe.
Yes.
How have you made sure that happens?
So firstly, it's matching yourself with the best partner. I mean, if you look at Protector, you've got similar values. You've got the same mindset of taking that product to market. So we've got to make sure, because we don't sell direct, we're the manufacturer, we sell through a partner, not through a company, not through a trader, through a partner that understands what we're trying to do to the end user. And if you don't close the loop, something's got to go missing. So we've got to make sure that that partner is a UVX aligned partner, similar values, and we're both trying to achieve the same thing. And that combined message to the end users, what we try and do, because like you said, that lack of awareness in the market's unbelievable sometimes. So, and it's a continuous process, you know, and you've got to have it from different angles as well. So we've got to align ourselves with the right partners, train them as well. And again, sometimes you learn both ways. And so fit for purpose is also getting that supply chain aligned with the right values and the right methods as well.
100%. Let's get into the topic today. So we're talking eye protection. I mean, you guys are unquestionably one of the leaders in eye protection from Protector side. I mean, we don't really look at much else than UVX. If there's a challenge, we know there's an appropriate solution for that. What is the danger with, because I've always got my work at Heights out. That's my background. I understand working at Heights. A spectacle I need to put on is going to protect something from damaging my eye because it goes through my glasses. Are there any other factors we need to consider when protecting eyesight?
Yeah, so now if we look at fit for purpose, you know, that's why I say it's got to be an holistic approach. We, and I think it's a term that people throw around too loosely as well. So, you know, to explain how we approach it. So, often you get people that manufacture a car, and they'll manufacture a car either from the inside out or from the outside in. So if we look at how we approach a site, it's always from the outside in. So firstly, we'll have to look at the environment. And it's not just a short, quick, have a check. It's really looking at what are the hazards you're facing. Is it, let's talk heat and cold, humidity, UV exposure, infrared exposure. What are the risks around that particular area? And from there, you start narrowing it down. So then you start looking at the user itself. So now if you look at the user wearing that product, you've got to look at fit. And fit is not comfort yet. So fit is about, does it protect the user or not? Is it too wide? Is it too narrow? Does it have any gaps? And I think a factor that people always overlook as well is the compatibility of a spectacle with the other PPE. So they choose a product without saying, does it work with a mask? Does it work with the earmuff? Does it work with a helmet? So you've got to do that fit as well. Then you've also got to look at that user with that product. Do they move around a lot? Do they go in and out? And is there a lot of head movement? Is it UV exposure now, but in 15 minutes it's not? You know, so there's all these factors before you even get to the product itself that you've got to narrow down. So once you've ticked those boxes, you can now pinpoint a product and say, fine, with all those factors, now we need to look at firstly, and that's where people look at is your coating. And the coating is probably the biggest factor you've got to look at. That's what gives you your protection against your UV, your infrared, your anti-fog, your anti-scratch. So at UVX, we've got about 9 coatings currently. We trimmed that down from about 16, and that's got to do with anti-fog inside, anti-fog outside, anti-fog both sides, anti-scratch, just your transmission on UV you've got to look at as well. And at the end of the day, once you've ticked all those boxes, then it becomes fit for purpose. But then you've got to tick the last box as well, which is the commercial side. So again, as a premium product, we are very aware that you've got to be able to offer a commercially viable product as well. And now, I mean, that discussion, it can keep us busy for an hour, because now you're talking price versus cost. And those are two very different things in our eyes. So yes, we've got to save the person money. That's cost. It's not price. Price is what you pay up front. the cost of that product is then to say, what is the cost in use over a month, over 3 months or 6 months? What is the cost in terms of risk? If that product, if something happens and there's an injury or the product didn't work, you're talking millions. You're talking downtime. You're talking a drop in production. That's also money. So that cost and ownership, at the end of the day, it's, you know, the whole thing that we try and get across to customers to say, make a better decision holistically, and you will smile in terms of protecting your own user, and you will get your production up. You will save money. And I mean, there's all these hidden costs as well. I mean, if you only use one product for 3 days, but you buy it for $3, versus a product that you use for 2, 3, 4 weeks, often longer. I mean, we've come across UVX products for 7, 8 months. So it's reduced waste. It's better for the environment. It's easier on the supply chain. It's easier to manage. You save double figures. So yeah, you know, it's really making sure you tick all the right boxes and not just that first price box, which unfortunately is the go-to in South Africa at the moment.
100% agree. And unfortunately, I think there's a disconnect. Generally, the person that is ultimately responsible for procuring the product isn't ultimately responsible for selecting the appropriate, or sometimes they are, and they're not in the environment to actually understand what do they need to protect from. But we'll get into that pricing conversation, because I think it's vital. People need to understand that you get what you pay for. At the end of the day, you get what you pay for. And if you're buying inappropriate PPE, you're putting somebody at risk. Somebody might not go home that afternoon. Their family is not going to be fed once that person is gone if it's a serious injury. Sure. But you've mentioned something quite vital, which the ultraviolet, the anti-fog, that for me, we don't look at that from a eye protection point. I've been to a number of sites where they work, especially when COVID was around. When you've got a mask on, the fog is serious. And I mean, that's just inflating the condition, because that's what the condition looks like in winter. And when somebody's vision is impaired, it's a lot worse than you just damaging your eye. If you can't see what you're doing, that's a huge, huge risk that isn't accounted for. How do you think we account? Do you think we take that into account, or not we, the person selecting the appropriate PPE for the site?
Unfortunately, I believe it doesn't. Too often we'll get to sites, and often, you know, our sales guys go out there and they ask questions. I mean, it's the best way to do it. And what are the problems you're facing? And often something as simple as a headache will then be while the person's dehydrated. Meanwhile, it's actually the vision of the person through a spectacle that gives you distortion that is not quality is what gives you the headache. So if you look at, again, standards in a product and you say, what's the quality of vision? A clear spectacle is a clear spectacle. That's what they say in the market. It's not. So a clear one spectacle will be a clear one, conforms to the standard, but the standard also only means a certain part of the lens is good clarity. The rest of it is not. So that means, let's say that person moves around a lot, like I mentioned earlier on, or it goes up and down stairs, that person. And you look to the sides of that spectacle and there's distortion. Your eye constantly works. That leads to fatigue. That leads to headaches. The person's not dehydrated. It's just the quality of the spec. And those are some of the hidden risks that we always talk about, to say, okay, well, we're not comparing apples with apples. Anti-fog, you know, what you see, one will say it's anti-fog, the other one is anti-fog. Again, you're not comparing apples with apples. So a product that then fogs up, what happens? The person takes it off. Often that person takes it off and they just work without it because it doesn't work. And that leads to other issues. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't think people look at it holistically. And often you can pinpoint certain issues purely down to the quality of the product, even though it is standardized. And then that's something we can touch on a bit later. But, you know, a lot of it goes missing in discussion, unfortunately.
And how do we better support these people? Because I think genuinely people want to do right. And unfortunately, they're not supported with appropriate tools, appropriate knowledge. And Is there a way we can better support people to make these decisions, or at least ask the right questions, to your point?
Again, I think that circles back to the awareness. So our job is to, yes, we want to sell a product, but you've got to sell it making sure that it's, again, fit for purpose. But often, even if the product's fit for purpose, the culture is not fit for purpose. And the awareness, and often the culture is not there because the awareness is not there. And it's actually sad to see how many people in the safety industry, the decision makers, just give up. And they say, listen, but that's the culture. It is what it is. And you sit back and you go, but, you know, that's not best practice. You know, so we can tick all the right boxes for you, but we've got to work with you to then change it. We'll do the training. And we don't even charge for training. You know, so if we get the right environment, we change the culture, you get people thinking a bit differently, then that culture is also favorable to the product that you're actually selling. And at the end of the day, everyone wins. But that lack of awareness, that, again, asking the right questions, but also getting to the guy wearing the product. So that's what we also, we tell the guy, listen, so we're happy to train your trainers, because we see that as well, where people just say, listen, so come train my guys, so I will train the rest. I'm like, no, we'll train them. We'll talk to them, because, you know, again, we are the experts. And for us, it's changing that culture. It's getting them to think differently. And you've got to get them to ask the right questions, because often they just accept things because they feel they don't have the power. So someone knows they're wearing the wrong product. They know they're wearing a product that doesn't fit. It fogs up, or it scratches, or there's gaps here. And they simply just let it be because it is what it is. But it shouldn't be what it is. You know. So that best practice that we try and enforce in our training and in whenever we go to a customer, that is what makes the difference at the end of the day. But that's it's a hard slog. But it's the right way to go.
Fantastic. I'm just thinking, how do we support these guys? There's safety officers, there's people responsible for the safety of those on site. Is it that approach of, hey guys, let's make sure that we're doing appropriate training once a year. Let's make sure we're selecting the appropriate fit for purpose. But the problem is, and you mentioned it earlier, there's a miss, because the person on the ground that's talking about safety and deciding on safety generally then has to go to a procurement person, and the procurement person gets given this pair of spectacles, and somebody's gone and made a pair of spectacles that looks exactly like yours, but may not conform to the same ability or same standards. Is that also where we find problems? Or
yeah, because they become the decision maker. So how it should be is that safety makes the decision, and procurement can refine it, but they shouldn't be the final decision maker. But often we just find that that's the roadblock. And we fully understand that you've got budgets, and in South Africa, you know, people need to, you know, tick certain boxes and hit the budgets and hit the numbers, and we get it. And sometimes your budget is what it is, and, you know, you've got to work with it, and we want to work with them. But again, you know, if you do it right, you can hit those numbers. But yes, unfortunately.
And you're not solving anything.
And it's short-sighted, right? Because commercially, we're going to save $1,000 this month.
Yeah.
But somebody gets a lost eye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I can imagine, millions of rands.
Correct. Yeah.
Do we see that in South Africa? I mean, unfortunately, my view is when we talk about the mines are petrified because the Department of Mines will come there, shut their operation down. And that's a real cost that they feel. As soon as they can't produce product, they are feeling that. So I feel like that kind of happens. Would you agree in saying the mining kind of get that right, where the rest of industry doesn't follow?
Yes and no. I still believe that they can regulate the mining industry more. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at, and, you know, let's not look at certain institutions, but I still feel our market's unregulated. It's not what you find in Europe. It's not what you find in America. It's not what you find in the other areas where there's regular inspections. And yes, the mining industry is ahead of the rest, absolutely. But I still feel that they can do more to make sure that, you know, the right product with the right standards gets onto site. There's still too much that just, you know, filters through the cracks and that we find on site. And when we start asking the right questions in terms of certification, it goes missing. And there's a lot of that still happening. And again, that's where the awareness comes in, and you know, we keep preaching it, but we've still got a long way to go there.
Fantastic. Well, keep it up. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.